I'm Kevin Kelly. This program is live and local. It's today your connection to local music, specifically to Barbershop Harmony. My guests today, a quartet from Danville calling themselves Four on the Floor. We'll hear a little bit about barbershopping and hear a lot of music on Live and Local today, live in our studio here on FM 90.9. Henry Mancini's Pink Panther, and I actually tried to watch that movie just recently, and thought the most interesting thing was the music. Didn't get very far. The Boston Pops played it here in, under the baton of John Williams, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That's an introduction for no particular reason at all to our guests today, who are a barbershop quartet based in Danville called Four on the Floor. They are Bob Baisdorfer, who is the lead singer, Mike Westfall sings baritone, J.P. Calvin is the tenor, and Wes Bieritz is the bass, as will be obvious when he in particular talks. I don't think the rest will be necessarily as obvious. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having us.
So the first and probably most obvious question for those who don't know anything about barbershop music or even who do know something about it but always wondered, why is it called barbershop? How did it get going? I mean, obviously there's a history behind that.
Well, it probably started in the late 1800s when men gathered in some places like barbershops because there was always waiting to be done. And what they would do then, because they didn't have radio or TV or air conditioning or cell phones, they began to sing. And as a result, they picked up four different harmony parts as well as the lead part and began to sing. And that was the beginning of it. Initially, it wasn't organized, but by the 1930s, it became organized as an international society called the International Society for the Preservation of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America, which has since been changed about 3 or 4 years ago. So it has been an organized society probably for the past 70 years.
You know, I just noticed that when I was looking things up yesterday that I saw I couldn't find SPEBSQA, which was, the sort of convoluted acronym for that whole name. What is it just called? The Barbershop Harmony Society now.
That's right.
Although I noted it said that they're still officially called that other longer name. That's still in their charter, so that's kind of interesting. Didn't this... actually have real origins among African Americans, is my
I don't know about that. I haven't heard that at this point, but it's very possible that that might have been the case. I just have never read that.
I had thought that was actually sort of those were the original, actually in the barbershop singers. That hasn't come up in
no.
conversation.
No.
Well, we might explore it on Wikipedia here. cultural origins, African-American music, it says. Typical instruments, none. A cappella. How does it differ now? Well, let's even go back. At what point do you think it started to develop the particular harmonic style that it has now, which is really quite distinctive, as we'll hear in a minute or two?
Well, I think in the 30s when it became an organized society and they began to have contests in the states and in the little regions as well as internationally. So then it began to be really a formative society in which they were compared one to another And so singing styles were kind of brought together, so to speak. And it was important for the organizers at that point to make sure that it didn't get outside some of those bounds. Although a wide variety of barbershop music exists, we still have some bounds by which the chords must be formed. So I would say that probably in the 30s, that's when it became known as a real particular singing style.
Well, and especially if you're going to compete, then you've got to adhere to these rules. Otherwise, I guess, what do you get is disqualified.
Right.
I guess if you're... And there are many chapters of the Harmony Society throughout the country, aren't there? And Illinois is a pretty big one.
Yeah, Illinois's got, I think there's more than one district even in Illinois. And there are, I don't know how many hundreds of chapters that there are, but it's quite prominent. And you go to a national convention, for instance, like they had in Nashville last year, and Indianapolis the year before that, I believe. I mean, there's thousands of barbershoppers there.
Yeah, it's incredible. We'll talk in a little bit about who is involved and who isn't involved, which is an issue I understand for just perpetuating the art form. But before we go on, why don't we hear a song?
All right.
Okay.
We'll be glad to. We're saying bye.
Bye-bye. We're saying bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye to all your blues.
We're singing
bye-bye blues. Bye-bye blues. Bells ring, birds sing, sun is shining, no more pining, just we two
all together,
smiling through
cloudy weather.
Don't sigh, don't cry, bye-bye blues,
bye-bye blues.
Bye-bye to all your blues and sorrow, bye-bye, 'cause they'll be gone tomorrow. Bells will ring and birds all sing, stop your moping, keep on hoping. The two of us together, just me and you, will keep smiling,
smiling through.
So don't you sigh, and don't you sigh. Bye, bye,
bye, bye to all your blues and sorrows.
To all your blues. Bye, bye.
You know, just that song reminds me that there's not too many sad songs in barbershop. Are there?
Actually, there are more than you think. We probably have four categories that we place our numbers in. One would be an upbeat, fun type of song. Another would be a ballad, and there are really quite a few of those. Usually about girls, or about the Irish, it seems like. And then we do some religious numbers as well as some patriotic songs. So those are the four categories.
Those are the main
we think
categories.
About.
But the ballads aren't even necessarily sad songs. They're just slower.
That's true. That's true. But they're fun to sing.
Yeah. Well, that's the main thing about barbershopping.
Yes.
Is having fun with it.
Yeah, the participants have a good time because there's nothing quite like feeling a barbershop chord ring so that exponentially it sounds a lot bigger and fuller when everybody hits the right notes. That's the idea.
Well, that's something about, I mean, the ringing chord is there's almost a science behind that.
That's right. The harmonics then multiply on top of the chord and ring out so that it's probably sounds maybe half again as loud and as rich and as full as it would normally. And actually, barbershoppers, as their voices blend and they begin to sing with each other, often we tune ourselves to the lead. we tune ourselves to the anticipated note of the next note of the lead. So the lead has to be very accurate, and that's why we have Bob singing the lead. And we have to harmonize with him. All three of us harmonize with him. And if it's done correctly, those harmonics will come out, and you'll hear that in each and every note. That's our goal, to hear that those harmonics in each and every note.
And, of course, if they don't come out correctly, then they don't ring.
That's right.
And that's where that's one of the bases on which you judge whether a quartet or a chorus is good or not.
Exactly.
Or how much better.
That's right.
And so on.
Yeah.
So the lead is the one who sings the melody.
Correct.
Always or usually?
Almost always.
Almost always.
We have a few numbers where the tenor has the lead. There are certain parts of songs where the bass will have the melody for a while. Baritone almost never. We just don't trust him to take the melody.
Yeah, but the baritone is really the hardest part.
Absolutely.
He fills in the notes that nobody else has. So we structure the chord, and whatever it is that needs to be filled in, he'll fill it in. He's either just above the lead or just below the lead, and that makes the chord complete. Without him, it just doesn't sound right. That's why trios sound a whole lot different than four-part barbershop harmony.
Are there barbershop trios?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
No.
They're just vocal trios that don't sound, that are a whole nother.
Like we often get asked, how many are in your quartet?
Yeah, you probably don't want to go too far with those folks. Now, the tenor in barbershop is a little bit different than tenor in a regular chorus, where tenor is just, the higher of usually two male voices. But in this case, you're really singing the alto range a lot of the time in a falsetto.
In a falsetto, yes.
Yeah.
That is pretty much where it's at, the alto and a falsetto.
And is the falsetto something that you just have done naturally, JP? Or did you have to discover it that you had one? Or how did you get plugged into the tenor?
Years ago, I just started singing with old groups, and it just seems to come natural, switching from my regular voice to falsetto.
So what's your regular voice?
That's a good question.
Has it gone stale? You don't use it anymore?
I haven't sang lead in a long time. I really couldn't tell you what my regular voice would be.
So in a way, barbershoppers' voices don't necessarily configure to the usual baritone bass.
That's very true.
Tenor, now, because your lead could be a tenor or baritone in a regular, other kind of chorus.
In some cases, the baritone note is so high that I sing it in falsetto.
Well, I remember when I did some singing, I used to, you may or may not know this, I actually used to direct the Illini Statesman here in Champaign.
That's where I know you from.
Yeah, for about 3 years.
Absolutely.
Quite a long time ago.
I was over here. We visited one time.
Yeah.
That's why I knew you as Kevin. I just knew I knew you from somewhere.
Well, there you go. We just placed it.
Yeah.
And,
you haven't gotten any older at all. I have.
But I would try to sing baritone was my favorite part to sing because of, sneaking in the chords, but it was often too high for me. I would just get tightened up. I found it very difficult to do, so I'm always impressed by it. Good baritones. I love good basses just because I always wished I was really a bass, but I'm not really a bass.
Well, you have to be born that way.
You do, yeah. Well, you're the guy that you just talk and you're the bass. I mean, that would have been a shocker if you had been the tenor. That's for sure.
Regarding the falsetto voice, many men can train themselves to sing falsetto. I can sing falsetto very easily. And it's usually easier for a bass because I sing with my lower vocal cords, and then there is a range in your cords that are uppermost that can sing the tenor part. And many of those are just the voices that you used to sing just before you were an adolescent. You keep those and retain those muscles to do that, or you can retrain them to do that. So most of us here in this quartet can sing a falsetto when we have to and do it pretty well, but the tenor is exceptional. He can do it very well and can sing much higher than the rest of us. He was just born that way.
Well, and that, you put that little top to the ringing chord, because if you're locked in, well, first of all, if the bass is locked in, then you have the fundamental securing the chord, but then if you have that tenor absolutely locked in, then the overtones will just go super high.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
that's where you really get that.
That's right.
It's a wonderful sound. Well, let's quit talking about it and let's hear another song. What do you want to do next for us?
Okay. Let's see, Alexander's Ragtime Band.
Have you heard the new sensation sweeping across a land? A musical treat with the Dixieland meet. It's Alexander's Ragtime Band.
Come on in here.
Come on in here. Alexander's Ragtime Band. Come on here, come on here. It's the best band in the land. They can play a bugle call like you never heard before. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da. Wah-wah, it's just the bestest band. What am I in a honey land? Come on along, come on along. Let the big bees by the hand. To the man, to the man, he's the leader of the band. And if you wanna hear that Swanee River play, then Ragtime,
come on in here,
come on here, come on here, come on here, Alexander's Ragtime Band. Hear that commotion, I got a notion, something's in the air. Let's meander and we'll take a gander and see what's a-coming down there. Hear those syncopated to see those flashy red suits. It's Alexander's band, I swear. And if you wanna hear that, come on in here, come on here, come here, that ragtime band.
Along the little deep, coming down the street, the best band in the land.
Now, what our listeners missed during that, since we are not on television, is some characteristic visual aspects of barbershopping, which is there's some cliches, you know, in visual. I mean, first of all, you usually gather around one microphone in a certain setup, and there's often the hand goes out, you know, at the end of a tune. You know, if you're on the left side, then it's going to be the left hand, and so on. That's not. Would you call that a novelty song?
I don't know that I'd call it novelty. I don't think so. No, it's written by Irving Berlin, I believe.
This came up yesterday when we had a jazz trio on here yesterday, the Chris Raymond Trio, and they were doing some standards, and I said, "Who wrote that?" Well, I don't know. So I went and dragged a book in here, and I'm going to have to go get that book again. But I think you're right.
I think it's Alexander's Ragtime, one of the few up-tuned, so to speak, that was adopted as an up-tune for him to write.
Yeah. Well, it was so you were doing some other little visual things that are a little bit of comedy that seems to often show up in barbershop, particularly in the choruses. Isn't that true? But yes. But also with a lot of quartets.
Also with the quartets. It's probably easier to do with the quartets because you can, one person does it, you know, you don't have to have all the basses doing it or all the baritones doing it or all a section of a chorus. So, yeah, we try to do that because, after all, 70% of our input, they say, is visual, not audio. So we try to put a little visual with it so that it's more meaningful a song and maybe interprets it a little better. And to distract from our faces.
So in this case, at one moment, it looked like JP as the tenor was about to sing something, and Bob as the lead just did it instead. So,
right.
But you missed that. So that's the visual that isn't there. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. My guests are Four on the Floor, based in Danville. They are Wes Buritz is the bass, Mike Westfall the baritone, Bob Baisdorfer the lead singer, and J.P. Calvin is the tenor. Programs today on FM 90.9 are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, presenting Krannert Uncorked on Thursdays in August from 5 to 7 p.m. More information on this event is at CranertCenter.com. And I should warn you that the Cranert Center website right now is rather loud. They've put on some sort of music that was a little startling when I went to the website just yesterday, but they've got quite a season if you want to check that out. Are you guys all members, I assume, of the chorus in Danville?
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes,
what's the name of that chorus? I should know, but I don't.
Danville Barbershop Chorus.
Oh. Nothing catchier than that, huh?
Previously, it was the Chorus of the Vermilion. But,
oh, really? What happened to that?
I don't know. I left town. When I got back, it was the Danville Barbershop Chorus.
We showed you, didn't we?
Yeah.
So how long have you all been doing barbershopping? You can take this one by one, I guess.
Okay, I'm over here at this end, but I'll take the first one. I think mine says on it 42 or 43 years.
No,
I haven't
kidding.
Dug it out of my billfold for a number of years. But
this is your membership card?
For my membership card says that long. And so, indeed, that's what it's been. Many of us are old-timers at this.
And Mike?
Since the late 60s, I've been in and out of barbershop. I don't know number of years. I don't really know, but I sang in, not only in Danville, but I sang in Crawfordsville, Indiana. They had a small chorus there when I moved over there, and then I sang in Mississippi when I got transferred by my company down to Alabama. I sang in a chorus in Mississippi, and then back to Danville.
And Bob?
I'm actually the rookie of the group. I've been singing about 10 or 11 years with a chorus. We formed this quartet about 6 or 7 years ago, something like that. Maybe
it's been
eight.
More than that.
It's been more than that?
Mm-hmm. I'll dig my stuff out here.
Bob.
Well, pardon me?
With you.
Right. These guys, and again, I'm the rookie, these guys have sang in various quartets over the years. This is the only quartet I've participated with. Mike is our newest member. Of course, the good news about singing quartet is parts are interchangeable, but it does take some time. When you bring a new member in, it takes a little while to get that blend that we talked about earlier.
Right.
And Mike's been singing with us for not a year yet, probably. And I think we're getting there. So, real pleased with the way it's going.
And you got your card out there.
I got my card out. Actually, the quartet had some different people in different parts. But it was formed 13 years ago. So
as
that's
four
how
on
long
the floor.
We've been singing. And
were you the original bass then, I'm guessing?
Yes, uh-huh. And my number of years in the Barbershop Society has been 44.
44. Congratulations. I mean, that's...
And I'm only 42 years old. Can you imagine how that happened?
JP, how long have you been doing this?
I started singing with the Barbershoppers in 1966. And I was 2 years old at the time. But I took a 12-year sabbatical. And I've been back 16 years or so.
I mean, just the fact that you all are involved so long, even Bob is 10 years, and that you've got a card that says, I mean, that you've got these cards that tell you how long your group's been around and so on, I mean, that suggests that this is maybe even a little more than a hobby for you all. In the promotion to this show yesterday, I quoted out of the Barbershop Harmony Society and said that, for many, it's a hobby. For others, it's a passion. And it sounds like you guys are leaning towards the passion.
Let me share a quick story concerning barbershop and how it's really one big family. And we could actually travel anywhere in the country and find out when the local chapter is meeting, and we could walk in and we could start singing with them, because all chapters tend to sing the same types of songs and often the same numbers. I was in Dallas, Texas, visiting my brother, who happens to sing barbershop down there. On a Friday night, he says, let's go down the street here and we'll get some pizza. Walk in there, and at a long table along the wall are about 12 or 15 of his barbershop buddies. They meet there every Friday night. They bring the wives, and they sit there and sing for hours as they're eating their pizza. And it's just, that's the type of social environment that this creates. It's just a lot of fun. We enjoy each other.
Well, whenever barbershoppers do get together, you have to sing, even if it is for
Absolutely.
A social thing. And there's these things called tags. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about tags, which would be pretty foreign to anybody who doesn't have anything to do with barbershop.
Well, tags are really nothing but the ends of songs. And And most of the time, as we call them, as barbershop tags, they're pretty concentrated, and I shall we say, highly structured to create a big ending, okay? That's what they're all about. So tags are big endings, so to speak, with lots of different chords to end the song. And sometimes barbershoppers love tags so much that they sing nothing but tags or nothing but the ends of songs for, you know, minutes at a time. And we do that in our chorus sometimes. We sing some tags. And like Bob said, when you get together with another group, it seems that everybody wants to say, hey, have you heard this tag? And so everybody wants to learn those four or five measures. So it's interesting.
Well, I remember going to the state... I forget what you call it now. Let's say contest
in
Peoria.
In Peoria.
Is it still in Peoria? And you just have groups of people all over the place just singing tags here.
Yeah.
You want to do an example for us? Can you do a
tag?
Sure.
This one is called Johnny Doughboy. It's because the song that it ends is called Johnny Doughboy, and we have never seen that song, never sung this song at all.
You just know the end
tag.
Of it.
That's all we know about Johnny Doughboy, and of course, it has a lot to do with World War II, and or maybe it was World War I. World War I,
yeah.
And the boys coming home, you know. So I suppose that's what it was.
Okay. So here's an example of a tag.
Johnny Doughboy found a rose in Ireland, in Ireland.
That's it.
And that puts the tenor on a C, and that's not his limit. We sometimes sing it on a D, or even when he's had a drink or two, up to an E.
Oh, you're just drinking water today.
Just water.
I know, because I filled that cup. We're talking with and listening to Four on the Floor, based in Danville, of member of the Danville Barbershop Chorus, all members of the Danville Barbershop Chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us about this contest every year. There's, if I remember right, there's in Illinois anyway. There's two contests a year, aren't there?
Yeah, there's one in the spring, about the end of April, and there's one in the fall, in the end of September. And one of them, and I always get confused. One of them is to try and get a state champion, and the one in the fall is the one whoever wins that chorus or quartet contest goes to the international the following year, which is held the 1st of July in various cities. So that's how it's structured.
I think that's the fall one. And how does Danville do it, those?
Well, we participated a number of years ago. Our quartet participated, how long ago was that? Four or five?
Five, yeah. 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Our goal, by the way, was not to be last.
As the quartet or the chorus?
As a quartet, and we accomplished our goal. We were not in last
Congratulations.
Place.
Congratulations. Yeah. Very good. Yeah.
So, and the Danville Chorus hasn't participated in a number of years.
Oh,
just
really?
Principally from lack of numbers, because you have to have quite a few people there to sing, you know. And
Well, let's talk about the numbers.
Yeah.
That's an issue in barbershop.
It certainly is, Kevin.
It?
And, you know, I was alluding to the fact that a lot of people in other days did find it comforting to associate with folks at the barbershop or at the bar, and they began to sing and do some things that entertained them. But nowadays, with the advent of air conditioning and TV and cell phones, and it doesn't seem to turn out that way. People do their own thing, so to speak. And singing and togetherness is apparently not one of them, because our numbers have decreased in modern years, and the barbershop society overall has decreased in numbers.
When I joined in the 60s, late 60s, we had probably 40 members.
In the Danville Chorus?
In the Danville Chorus, and we have maybe 20 on the books now, and we're lucky if 12 show up.
Really?
On an evening practice.
You know? And you get together once a week?
Once a week.
Once a week.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And when I first joined, when my first experience with barbershop, they had an evening there, and I was taken as a guest, and there were four courses, including Danville. There was one from Terre Haute, Lafayette, Champaign, and the Danville course. And there was like 150 guys in this room singing. And that sound with that many people when they were singing said to me, I want to do that. And been there ever since.
What's being done in Danville or anywhere else that you know about to try to get more people involved? I mean, I guess particularly younger people is the goal, so you have the society perpetuates itself. Any idea?
Well, there are younger people involved in barbershopping, and there are programs internationally to bring them online, and there are a lot of younger people doing that. But in some of our towns in the Illinois area, smaller towns that are not growing, so to speak, and not having an influx of younger people, the demographics just don't lend itself for a lot of new people coming in to sing barbershop. As a result, you know, many times there are middle-aged and older folks that have the time and the inclination to do that. Besides, I think the theme of music has changed quite a bit over the past years, and it's changed from maybe participating to listening.
Yeah, that's a big difference. What about some of the differences between, say, barbershop and general a cappella music, which is a big deal among younger people? What's the difference between barbershop and what is generically called a cappella?
Well, mainly it's because the lead is singing the melody in mid-range of the tones. And
for whom? The barbershop?
For the barbershoppers. Yeah. And in a cappella choruses and in probably in church choirs, you know, the soprano is on the top and the alto below and then the tenor and then the bass. But this unique form of singing has the lead part right in the middle. So it's singable for the lead and it's pleasant for the lead. And then the harmony is built around it. Plus the fact that we have a genuine bass part, because you can hear how deep it goes at times. And most of the time, a cappella choruses don't have that big bass sound as well. So putting that all together with the tenor on top and the lead in the middle, and the baritone fishing around for the notes that the lead doesn't have and the bass in the bottom makes the unique characteristic sound with overtones that embellish the tone.
I wonder if there's anything that somehow appeals more to younger people about this other kind of a cappella singing. I'm just thinking here, like, for example, at the University of Illinois, there's groups called, like, the Extension Chords, and I'm trying to remember what all the other, I don't know, it seemed to me there were like 10 different a cappella groups at the university at some point, and that was quite a big deal. And that's its own thing. And I also remember that the Illini Statesmen here in Champaign actually did some things together with them,
which
I would think would be a, you know, if not necessarily a recruiting maneuver, at least some way to get some excitement generated on behalf of barbershopping.
And I think that in Champaign-Urbana, there are a number of younger people in the chorus these days because they can recruit them out of the student body, which we don't have much of a chance in Danville to do. And I don't know how they're doing at this point, and their numbers, I just don't know. But I recall visiting, as you may remember, that there were a number of people that were university students that came and sang.
With the Statesmen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the whole barbershop thing is a phenomenon. It's really kind of interesting to participate at the contests and then to hear some of the really, really fine choruses and quartets. No. And I was just online yesterday, and I forget which site it was. It may have been the Barbershop Harmony Society. And there's a clip on there of the reigning champion quartet, whose name I can't now remember. Do you all happen to know that? Into the international champions. Looks like Wes is trying to think of it. I don't remember, but you know, it's a really smooth sound. It's incredibly smooth sound, and the choruses, the winning ones, tend to be pretty large.
Hundreds.
And mm-hmm. Yeah, and the sound is massive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sounds all the more massive because, as you talked earlier, they ring those chords so well that it sounds like an even bigger sound.
And the one that won it this year is from Missouri, and under the direction of Jim Henry. And it is always up on top or near the top. So it was, I think they had it in Portland this year. I didn't go. It seemed a little too far. But for the last couple of times, like Mike indicated, in Indiana, there was in Indianapolis and in Nashville, a lot of us went down there to hear those because it was drivable, and we enjoyed it.
Do you guys, does the Danville Chorus do a concert or a couple of concerts a year, or when do you perform?
Yeah, usually in the spring we have our concert, and it'll be in the last of March this year.
And you do just the one performance annually, or do you do other?
That's our annual show that we do, but we do sing in other places, both the quartet and the chorus. We've gone to nursing homes and sung both the quartet and the chorus. And we are available for if people want us to sing for occasions. Why we do that?
Do you have anything specific coming up you can like to tell our listeners about?
Well, we don't at this point, but we did just get done a month ago singing for the Seidel 125th anniversary. And that was a good gig. I think that the people at Seidel really enjoyed our singing. They seemed to, anyhow. Although fresh tomatoes were nearby, they never threw anything at us. So we thought it was a success. But we really enjoyed that. So we like to do those kinds of things. And we had a lot of singing for anniversaries and reunions and things like that. That's what we like to do, because I think that we can extend our talents for those people, and a half an hour of enjoyable entertainment.
So somebody got interested from hearing you sing on this show, and we'll have you sing again in just a moment, and said, hey, I'd like to have those guys for my event. How should they get hold of you?
Well, we all have phone numbers, but I'll be glad to give you my cell phone number so that anybody can ring it if they wish to do so. If you'd want that, but
go right
I don't know
ahead.
How that works.
Well, you just tell them the number.
It's 217-497-3087.
497-3087, and that will get you Wes Beeritz, who is the bass, a member of Four on the Floor, Barbershop Quartet from Danville. And let's hear us another song. You're on Live and Local here on FM 90.9.
What is it?
Should we sing one of our...
Mary Lou?
Okay. Or Mary Lou? Okay. You'll all remember this song. It's called Mary Lou, and we'll give you the derivative of it lately.
Pass me by one summer day, flash those big brown eyes my way, and oh, I wanted you forevermore. I'm not one that gets around, swear my feet stuck to the ground, and oh, I never did meet you before. I said, hello, Mary Lou.
Goodbye, heart.
Sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you.
I'm in love with Mary Lou.
I knew Mary Lou.
We never part.
We never part. So hello, Mary Lou. Goodbye, heart.
Goodbye, heart.
Saw your lips, I heard your voice. Believe me, I just had no choice. Wild horses couldn't make me stay away. Thought about a moonlit night, arms around you good and tight. That's all I need to see for me to stay.
Hey, hey, hey,
hello, Mary Lou.
Goodbye, heart.
Goodbye, heart. Sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you.
I'm in love with Mary
Lou. I knew Mary Lou.
We never part.
We never part. So hello, Mary Lou. Goodbye, heart, goodbye, heart. Hello, Mary Lou. I'm in love with you, yes. Hello, Mary Lou.
Goodbye, heart.
Right from the start, I said, hello, Mary Lou. Goodbye, heart. Goodbye, heart.
And that little bit you could hear without having seen what goes on there. The Stubborn Bass.
Yeah.
Four on the Floor, performing here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's probably time for me to run down a little bit of the calendar that we've got here of music and theater events for the next couple of days. Things you can go out and do and see and hear. If you're involved in an organization or an event, would like our listeners to know about it, by all means, send me the information. Send it to willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-I-L-L calendar@illinois.edu. And we'll put it on. And if you've got somebody who might be a good guest on the show, we'd like to know about that as well. Today is Wednesday, so that means that you have a couple of opportunities to see High School Musical. The Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan is presenting it twice today, coming up shortly at 2 o'clock and then again at 8 o'clock. And the Springfield Municipal Opera Association, the Muni, is performing High School Musical on stage tonight at 8:30. And both of those performances are running through the weekend as well. Tomorrow in Sullivan, it's at 8 o'clock, and in Springfield, it's at 8:30. The Peoria Municipal Band is playing tonight at 7:30 at Glen Oak Park in Peoria. That's a free program. Also tomorrow evening, singer-songwriter Denise LaGrassa is on the Under the Prairie Stars concert series in Clinton. That's at 6:30 tomorrow night. The Chris Raymond Jazz Trio, who were on this show yesterday, are performing a free program tomorrow at noon, part of the music series at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute on the main Carl Clinic campus in Urbana. Unnecessary Farce is at the Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater in Goodfield, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 6, and then Sunday for brunch starting at noon. And then lots of other things on the weekend, which we'll get to in tomorrow's show. Again, if you have anything for our calendar, send it to us at willcalendar@illinois.edu. There are women barbershoppers. They call themselves something else.
Sweet Adelines.
The Sweet Adelines, which I always thought was a kind of a funny term. I don't know why I think it's a funny term. You know, that's that was the first barbershop song I sang. It was Sweet Adeline. When I was in high school. I haven't thought about this in a very long time, as a matter of fact. We and three other guys, friends of mine, decided to learn this song and enter the high school talent contest, and we won with that song. And I'm trying to remember if I sang bass or what part I sang. I don't remember, but that was a good song. Do men and women ever sing barbershop together?
On occasion, that does happen. We have mixed quartets, and it's kind of a different arrangement because, of course, the women's voices are half again as high as men's usually. So it has to be done correctly in order to be a part of it. I've never really been much of a part of that. Mike has sung that before, I think.
Well, no, I was just referring to our participation in the Sweet Adeline show this last time. We were their guests. Our Danville Chorus was their guests. And we did two numbers together. But you have to be very selective about the numbers that you use.
Yeah, I wonder how you divide up the parts. Who sings what part? I imagine a male bass would have trouble fitting in with a mixed chorus, or maybe not.
Yeah, like I said, their voices are half again as higher in an octave, and so you have to pitch it just about right so everybody can sing. So you have to be selective, as Mike says.
Yeah, are the Sweet Adelines having, first of all, have they been around as long as far as you know, and are they having the same sort of drop-off that the men are having? Any idea?
In our town, they're doing quite well. Their numbers are small, too, compared to what they were some years ago, but they're very active. They put on a couple, three shows every year and sing about the community, as do we. The gals do a fine job. They really do. So we must commend them. They do a bit more for the community and singing than we do.
And it's interesting. They use the same four terms for the voice parts as the men. It's still lead, tenor, baritone, and bass.
Right. Yeah.
Even though, you know, they don't call themselves altos and sopranos there.
Yeah.
And they divide the parts up similarly.
Yes.
I remember it was a I guess just a surprise to me when I first encountered that, that I wouldn't, I don't know what I would have expected. But I know the Sweet Adelines here in town are going to be doing a show in September. I got a notice for that. We'll be sure to put that on our calendar. And be sure to send us, you know, whenever you guys are singing.
Okay, so we'll do it. Yes, Kevin.
I'll give you my email address. Well, you have the Will calendar, but I'll give you my own as well. That we can be sure to get some information out to our listeners. By the way, here I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry on barbershop music. And, of course, Wikipedia is always, you know, somebody puts it together and other people may correct them, and you never know how fully accurate it is. But it refers to, remember I asked earlier whether it was an African-American, had African-American origins, and it suggests the first use of the term was with African-Americans, and says that the Mills brothers learned to harmonize in their father's barbershop in Piqua, Ohio, and a number of other African-American gospel quartets founded in neighborhood barbershops, including groups called the New Orleans Humming Four, the Southern Stars, and the Golden Gate Jubilee Quartet. That's spelled T-T-E at the end. And they have a picture here of Polk Miller's Old South Quartet that existed from 1900 to 1912. So it's a, the form's been around a long time. And we were talking out in the hall a little bit before we started the show with a couple of my colleagues out there about the group Take Six. You remember them? They got started back in 1980, African-American group that came out of gospel. And then started to pick up barbershop harmonies, and evolved more into the the sort of younger a cappella stuff we were talking about earlier, general a cappella. Anyway, you don't need to hear me talk anymore. Let's hear another song. Four on the Floor here on Live and Local.
River.
This song is called The River Song, and I think you'll be able to name it and what movie it came from and the actor and the actress when we get done.
And we just had a switch of singers.
Yeah, the reason we're doing this is I'm going to have a little more of a solo part as the lead, and these three guys need to really blend well, so... if I stay in the middle, they won't be able to hear each other quite as well.
So. Yeah, so Bob is the lead, just stepped off to to the end where he's normally is right in the middle of things.
Whalery.
Now there's a sad song.
That's right.
Talking at the beginning, I was saying there's hardly any sad songs in Barbershop, and that there's one right there.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to save time for one up-tempo one before we run out of time here. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. On the show tomorrow, we have two performers who are going to be at the Outside at the Research Park series at sponsored by the Krannert Center and Fox Atkins Group. In Champaign on Friday. And they are Ryan Groff, who's a singer, songwriter, guitarist, also a member of the group called Elsinore here in Champaign. He is leading for country singer Kathy Mattea, who is a multiple Grammy winner. And I had a chance to talk with her a few weeks ago. We'll be airing that interview tomorrow, and Ryan will be on the show live doing a performance segment as well. So that's tomorrow. During the noon hour, our lunchtime music sharing hour for you. I was curious about when we were talking earlier of contests and being judged on certain arrangement. You know, the arrangements have to be of a certain type and the chords have to be of a certain type. What are some of the other things that a chorus or a quartet are judged on at a contest?
Stage presence.
Stage presence, meaning
how they appear on the stage, especially like from the face up, head up, I should say, you know, and their expressions. Also, anymore, and especially in the larger quartets, it's choreography. There's an immense amount of choreography anymore that didn't used to be there.
In the larger choruses.
In the larger choruses, yes.
Because it's got to be well coordinated.
Yes,
I see.
Mm-hmm. One benefit to the competition when this quartet appeared a few years back, after immediately following the competition, after you're given your grades, so to speak, you get some private coaching with the judges, and there's a lot of value to that. In our case, we were a nervous quartet. Our tempo was way too fast, and they actually worked with us for about 5 minutes on how to slow down and how to hold a good tempo. So. That was worthwhile.
And how to overcome nerves.
Exactly. Yeah.
And just be aware of it. Any other elements of the judging? I don't remember myself.
Well, you know, it's all about conveying the meaning of a song. So as I spoke of earlier, visuality is, they say, 70%. So we try to give them the visuality as well as the sound. And that's what stage presence, choreography, or whatever is all about. It's part of it.
Yeah, I remember working with the chorus here. The term stage presence was interesting to me because it almost incorporated the choreography for the chorus, and some would probably look at it and say, well, that was one of the most fun things I remember.
Yeah.
Getting up into the costumes and doing theme songs, theme sets that the choruses will often do, and so on. It was a lot of fun. The few years that I was able to. Be able to do that. I was never really a real barbershopper. You know, I'm still a chorus director who happened to have been doing a barbershop chorus for a while, you know, and it's not quite as in my blood as the way it obviously is for you guys. Well, let's have us one last song. What do you want to go out on?
Okay, this is the song that is better done before people because visually it has some context. But I'll introduce it anyhow, and I think maybe we can make it up with the words that are involved.
Okay.
Okay. Anyhow, it goes like this. I introduce it as some years back, I lost my wife, and after a couple of years, began dating again. And when I was going with this one woman, why my quartet buddies told me, well, now be careful, because these days you can never tell about women. They might have been altered, even surgically, so you just didn't know what you're getting. So I went ahead and said, okay, I can tell, because I'm a medical person, I'm a veterinarian, I can tell. No, don't waste your time. So I want to tell you by this song is really what happened.
See that sun in the morning, peeking over the hill.
I'll bet you're sure it always has, and sure it always will. That's how I feel about someone, how somebody feels about me. We're sure we love each other, that's the way we'll always, always be. After my wife and I were just married, we ran off the guests who had dairy. Then we went to our room, the bride and the groom, side by side. First she put her teeth in her pocket, then unscrewed her leg from its socket, and her hair looked so fair, there on the chair, side by side. She laid her lashes nearby, took out her clear glass eye. It was more than I could bear, belt on and all lying there. So I stood there all broken-hearted, for most of my wife had departed. So I slept on the chair. There was more of her there, side by side.
Now that's called a novelty song. That is a novelty song. I haven't heard one of those story songs in quite a long time. Yeah. Trying to remember the name of the quartet that was over here, and I'm sure you guys knew some of the members, at least two of whom died. Jim Clark.
Jimmy
was
Clark. Scholastics, they were called.
Well, even later than that, though. Bob Tordock, who was still around, was in there, and Harold Longworth
right. yeah.
was in there. Was yes. it the Scholastics?
Well, that's the name I remember. Perhaps they were named something different after.
Yeah, it was something
afterwards.
Else.
I don't,
but
I'm
they
not
used
sure.
to they used to do a lot mm-hmm. of songs like that.
They did some terrific ones.
My I am my own grand.
I'm my own Paul, grandpa.
Uh huh. I remember Jim Clark was the lead.
Yeah. And well, mother. M is for the million things you gave.
Yeah,
me. Remember that one?
Yes, I do.
Uh huh.
All right.
I had some antics with it. You know, it was a fall down, funny. Routine.
We'll have to do a barbershop show in here sometime, and just invite a bunch of quartets, yes. and maybe by then this show will be on TV, and on WILL TV, and we'll have the visuals as well. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming on the show. Four on the Floor, from Danville. They are lead is Bob Baesdorfer, baritone Mike Westfall. Bass is Wes Bieritz, and the tenor J.P. Calvin. And hope you come back again.
Thank you, Kevin, for inviting us.
Yeah. My
Thank
pleasure.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9.